Well may we say, God save the Queen, because nothing will save the Governor General.
You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days.
Hello and welcome to Well May We Say, a progressive podcast about Australian politics. This is episode 32 for Saturday, 19th of August 2017. I'm Jeremy Sear, and each week I will be joined by a different guest host to help me look into what's happening to our country and why, what's going to happen, and what we can do about it. Tonight's guest host is Ben Pobgy. Welcome, Ben.
Good evening, Jeremy. How are you?
It is lovely to have you back again. Oh, how am I? I'm sorry, I just completely ignored your question. That's rude.
That's all right. It was a token question anyway.
No, but you might want to really know.
I do want to know.
I'm good. I feel the podcast should probably delve further into the deep recesses of my psyche, or...
Absolutely. It's good to be on, I've got to say. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to be well, may we saying, once more.
Well, because you've been stuck gathering around you and not yes. Well, may we saying at all.
Yes, and you know, that's great, but... There's a meatiness to the issues that I can get my teeth stuck into on this podcast that no other podcast offers.
Because there are some issues to get our teeth stuck into. Some of them are issues that we have in fact covered before.
This shit never ends.
True. I mean, the Barbie.
That's what you say about pretty much every issue in Australian politics. Just. You can say at any point in history, this shit never ends.
Yeah, because the Conservatives are really effective at stopping any kind of progress.
Which is their gig. Good on them. That's a Conservative's job.
To be fair, they are effective.
They chose the right side.
Which is amazing because they're actually shit. Everything they do is a bit of a hack, and yet it's enough to stop progress.
I guess the thing is that, like, in the past there have been lots of Conservatives in politics who have actually been good at getting things done and thus have kind of undermined the Conservative cause. Current Australian government is the most Conservative ever because they are so good at maintaining utter gridlock and stagnancy.
Well, isn't that the classic thing for the right? Like the right says government is terrible. Government can't be relied on doing anything. And so when they get into government, it is in fact proving their point, the shitter job they do.
Yes. I mean, I guess that's about... I mean, it's a funny thing, though, when you consider that they call themselves Conservative and yet they are very anti the concept of government. It's like, I mean, government is a... You know, it's an old-fashioned idea to have a government, you know. and you go back in time that there were some quite severe kind of restrictive governments... In the ancient past, you know, it's not like it's...
Look, I feel like their hatred of government isn't overly sincere because they do seem to like government having extraordinary powers. Like, they're the people who want government to have, you know, ever-increasing police force powers and, you know, Dutton's super new terrifying police state department and, you know, more funding for the military. And, like, they... They portray government as this oppressive, terrifying thing. But the thing is, lefties, when we were on government, what we want government to do is be a servant and provide services. We want government to be ruthlessly oppressing our freedom by providing us with healthcare and education and public, you know, decent public services. Whereas the Conservatives want government, apparently, based on what they do, to be oppressive in, you know, the actual tyrannical sort of ways that, you know, when you imagine a tyrannical government, you tend not to be thinking of the free healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, we are talking about sort of the official representatives of conservatism. I'm sure there are genuine conservatives out there who are genuinely conservative. But they don't tend to get very far in government.
No.
The people who get far in government are the ones who are very hungry for more and more power.
Yes. Well, I think
so. That's what happens.
I feel like the only way in which this mob are actually conservative, because really, really, they are libertarians on the subject of the economy. They just anything that their primary government philosophy is cut taxes for the rich, and is funded that by cutting services for the poor, and everything yes. they do fits into that, except for on social issues like suddenly we can find $120 million to unleash craziness about LGBTI people.
Yeah, which frankly is not conservative. Like, it's a, like, isn't it a weird thing to see the right, you know, the patrician right wing saying, oh, we politicians, we don't know what's best. It's like that they've been telling everyone what is best for their lives forever, and then suddenly they're not qualified to just vote on it themselves. It's an incredible thing.
I saw that John Anderson on Sky News. So John Anderson was the Deputy Prime Minister under Howard?
Yes, I remember. He was was the poor man's Tim Fisher.
Yeah, so National. But he's hardline in the anti-equality movement. Like, he go, you know, when they did that live meetup between all the churches over the teleconferencing, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, he was one of the speakers at that thing. And so he said, he was out there. One of the things he said was that previously it had been fine for the government to make the decisions on this, and then something changed. The thing that changed was the people who are opposed to marriage equality were suddenly going to lose on the floor, and all of a sudden, up until that point, they were fine with Parliament voting on it.
Oh, it's so frustrating, and it's like it's frustrating because everyone knows the real situation. If you know what I mean, like the people who have proposed this plebiscite, the people who are putting this plebiscite, it's not even a plebiscite now, is it? It's just a survey.
They need to stop calling it a plebiscite because it is. The anti-equality side is repeatedly calling it a referendum and a plebiscite to try and make it sound more legitimate than it is.
Like, and the thing is, a plebiscite is even a watered down referendum. A plebiscite is sort of a low threshold for democracy anyway.
Well, I mean, we don't do them on anything. Like, the last one was what the...
Because they're pointless, and this doesn't even reach the level of a plebiscite.
No.
This doesn't even meet that threshold. But what's frustrating is the people, everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows it's a political ploy. Everyone is sort of being dishonest about it. And even some on the pro-equality side who are sort of, for appearance's sake, trying to engage in good faith. But to do so, they have to lie themselves.
Why do they have to lie?
Because... Well, in order to pretend that the other side is arguing in good faith, because we all know they're not. We all know they're not. They know they're not. It's like we're all in possession of exactly the same truth, and we're being asked to pretend that reality is not what it is. But everyone knows that it's a purely political ploy.
And it's so one-sided. So it's not just one-sided because it's postal and it skews older and it skews towards people who are going to be opposed to it. Like, it's not just skewed because of that. It's skewed because what the effect of it is not equal. So if the yes side gets up, the Liberal politicians still who don't like marriage equality can still vote no.
Yes.
If the no vote gets up, the Liberal LNP politicians who would vote yes are still prevented from crossing the floor. So they only one side gets to cross.
They refuse to have they're not going to have a vote at all if it says no.
So one side is supposedly bound. It's like this thing that we don't agree with being a legitimate process, they are trying to tell us that we should agree to be bound by this bullshit process on the yes side, but the no side aren't bound by it. None of the people calling for this ridiculous thing have said, it's not like Lyle Shelton said, if we lose this survey, we'll back down. It's not like any of the, it's not like Tony Abbott said, if we lose it, or maybe Tony Abbott has, I don't know. There are a lot of people in the side demanding this postal vote who are quite clearly going to still vote against it after. So what's it do? Like, this idea of that we're giving people a vote, we're not really, because the politicians ignore it. Like, if people, the Australian people were actually getting a vote, which is, again, a terrible idea on to be having people voting on other people's human rights. But this isn't that. People are like, I want my say. Well, you're not getting a say because it's just a survey. And
yeah, I mean, you're getting a say in only the most, the strictest literal way, as in literally you can say something. You know, you can say,
but you can do
yes
that without
no.
a survey. They can do that. They do that in the newsletter.
You know what?
Comic
we have opinion polls. Yeah. We've already got them. they come out every week.
So do you want to know what the three big, because I really think that, so our side is running two big lines. One of them is love is love, and I just don't think that I don't know who that really gets, because I think most people who are going to be sympathetic to that already get and support marriage equality. I don't know that the love is, because, and also it gives dickheads this sort of disingenuous, they, you know, well, I love other, just because you love someone doesn't mean that it should be marriage. Yeah. What if you love, I don't know, somebody else, somebody who can't consent or something? Like,
I think a lot of the other side, I mean, you know, the hardcore anti-marriage equality people, they're not who we want to convince, obviously.
No.
There's sort of the middle ground, obviously. And I think there are some people who the issue is for them in opposing marriage equality. It's a traditionalist kind of thing, and it's certainly not rooted in hatred, you know, not necessarily hatred of gay people, but that in the thought that marriage is a set specific thing that cannot, like it's like to call it same-sex marriage is a contradiction in terms. That would be their view. And I think
I don't think they really believe
there's room. I think it's a truth that has been sort of set in concrete for them because it's a traditional view. I think you can reach people like that because once you sort of open, you know, I think you can open people's eyes, but I don't think you can do it by saying love is love, because that's not really something, it's not the issue for them.
I don't think we can even get there. I mean, for me, the bottom line is whether it's marriage or anything else, it doesn't really matter. It's that it's equality before the law, that the law should not be discriminated. Yeah. The law should treat people the same regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexuality. The marriage law doesn't do that. The ACL and the Marriage Alliance people admit that this is the last law that really distinguishes between people on the grounds of gender. That's what this is about for them.
Yep.
This is a war for them because they actually do want to be forcing us back into their traditional gender roles. And this is one of the areas where we are finally ending a place where the law does try and shove us into gender roles. And I don't think that the people who... I think that the entire no case is relying on the people who say, I support traditional marriage and same-sex marriage is not the same, they're motivated by, deep down, they don't think gay relationships are as good as theirs. They think gay relationships are second class, and they think, therefore, that gay relationships being called marriage taints their marriage.
Yes. Although, I mean, there's a chicken, to me, when you say that, it's like I'm trying to get into the heads of people who don't think the way I do, so it's kind of hard. But it's almost like there's a chicken and the egg thing there, because you say, okay, well, gay, you know, a gay relation, is same-sex marriage wrong because gay relationships are not as good as straight relationships, or are you thinking that gay relationships are not as good as straight relationships because they can't get married? And it's like, these are the kinds of things where there are some people who I think haven't really put the thought into it. It's like an article of faith. And if you could get them to think about it, because people have changed their minds over the years, you know, people who didn't think about it.
They need to see, because once you put, I mean, I'd like to see Lyle Shelton being challenged to say, no, I think that gay people are equal citizens to me and you know, just as valuable as the community, and their relationships are equal to mine. He won't say that, because the bottom, what underpins the entire attack on marriage equality is a feeling that gay people should be second-class citizens, that they are inferior. And if you can't,
absolutely,
if you didn't believe
that's
that,
behind the...
You couldn't, so like, if you believe that they're equal, then there's no separate but equal is a ridiculous idea. The idea that, oh, well, we'll give them a diff thing with a different word. Why? If they're the same, the law should, you don't have two different words for the same thing. Yeah. If it's equal, then it's equal, and it's marriage.
And I think this is where the changes have come, you know, as people have evolved their views over time, because more and more people have realized over the years, hang on, I don't think of myself as prejudiced. I don't think of myself as homophobic. But I, you know, people suddenly realize, hang on, my opposition to marriage equality is based in a belief that I don't want to have. You know, it's like people's eyes have been opened and said, hang on, this is homophobic. I don't want to be a homophobe. I need to change.
And when they deny homophobia,
I don't want to be like Lyle Shelton. There's a lot of people out there who probably oppose marriage equality, but would hate to be thought of as being like Lyle Shelton. And it's like, if you make them realize, hey, you're on Lyle Shelton's side.
And I think, I think that the ACL side recognises how weak their hold on being about marriage is.
They're making shit up.
So that's what I'm going to say.
They're flat out lying at this stage.
All right. So, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, hell, one of the things I think we should do is not be calling them bigots anymore. We should be calling them shameless liars, because that's...
Yeah, they absolutely are.
So, as we talked about last week, there are... You can tell that they don't have any arguments against marriage equality because they're specifically talking about everything else. So this is what the Coalition for Marriage, so this is the combination of the Catholic Church, the ACL, Marriage Alliance, and these people all together. Yep. So this is what they put out this week. Three things that will happen if we vote yes and three things that will happen if we vote no. And I want to say how I think we should be tackling this in a sec, but I'll say, so these are the three. If we vote yes in the plebiscite, one... Oh, by the way, can you go bingo when the first thing comes up where it's clear that they don't understand how cause and effect works? You know, cause and effect, that something can't be caused by something that happens after it, that thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If we vote yes in the plebiscite, one, loss of freedom of speech. Already we live in a climate of intimidation where civil debate is impossible. Those who support traditional marriage are targeted if they speak up, like Hobart Archbishop Julian Porteous was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the bingo?
Well, I feel like that's I feel like that cannot be a consequence of marriage equality if it's happening now.
No, surely their argument is that the whole marriage equality thing. This is anyway. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel stupid for even arguing against stuff like this.
Two, loss of freedom of religion. This will affect what faith leaders will be able to preach, what schools will be able to teach, and how everyday Australians will be able to conduct their businesses in accordance with their beliefs.
Yeah. Well, that's just a lie. So,
well, see, this is the thing. Right now, in most states, possibly all states, certainly in this state, an organisation that's not a church, not just a church, but anything vaguely related to it. So, the breakfast cereal company Sanitarium, or like a school, currently has the power to sack the gardener if they're a lesbian.
Yeah.
So. Let's be clear. When they talk about freedom of religion, what they are talking about is their power to destroy the freedom of employees. So, so it's not like, you know, I feel uncomfortable that my employee is a lesbian. I feel like that's not quite as uncomfortable as if you're a lesbian and you're liable to get sacked because of your sexuality. I feel like that the lesbian's right not to be sacked for her sexuality trumps the right of the employer to sack her.
I mean... Yeah, well, clearly there is too much freedom of religion.
That's right.
We should actually want it. But the point is that this will not actually, it has no effect.
No, I mean, you know, it should.
On freedom of religion at all.
We should definitely be winding those things back because that is outrageous. But again, exactly, there is no part of any of the Marriage Act proposals that would change that.
Yeah.
Three. Although it should, but and I know Paul Kelly's out there in The Australian writing about how outrageously weak the religious freedom protections are. Well, I don't know, Paul. If you can sack people for being gay, they're pretty fucking strong, much stronger than they should be.
I mean, in terms of marriage, I mean the protections. Just, you know, no one has to conduct a wedding that they don't want to, which is how it is now anyway. I mean, Now no one has to conduct a wedding they don't want
to. But what about the bakers who might get asked to bake for a wedding cake? I mean,
I feel like that is just not as, I don't know. It's so weird how bakeries have become ground zero. But
hang on, it's such
an odd thing.
Do the anti-equality people, do these fanatics believe that a baker right now should be able to refuse to bake a cake for a Jewish couple because they think Judaism is evil? Or
well,
you know, my freedom
thing,
religion,
it?
You know, this cake shop, I refuse to bake for Jews or Muslims or Christians. Like, how do they really think that businesses should be able to discriminate against people based on their religious beliefs? Because there are a lot of people whose religious beliefs aren't in line with the Christians.
Yes, exactly.
Like, but again, it's like that's a thing now. Like, all of these things are legal now. Like, people are out there doing things that Christians don't like all the time, and and weirdly, Christians still manage to run businesses and interact with those people, even if they don't agree with their other beliefs. Because most Christians in business recognize that they want to be able to interact in business with people who they don't necessarily agree with religiously, because otherwise they'd be in an extremely limited freaking commercial sector, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and I mean, usually you don't inquire that much into people's private lives anyway.
I mean, I think it's important for cake shop owners to be asking people, like, they should have a checklist at the front of the cake shop as to, you know, which parts of the Bible the person who's proposing to buy a cake, agrees with.
It's like, say you make a wedding cake for a heterosexual couple. You don't know what they're getting up to in their spare time.
Look, we don't want to serve adulterers. Adultery needs to be illegal. That's right. Look.
What if they're going to kill a baby at their wedding? How far are you going to push this?
Look, my religious beliefs, I don't believe in adultery. So adultery needs to be illegal, because otherwise adulterers might come into my shop and buy a cake. And yes. I'd be forced to serve the adulterers.
Well, you know, you could get them to sign a contract saying they have to reimburse you for the cost of the cake if either of them ever cheats.
It's just insane. Okay, so that whole thing is bonkers, and it's free. I love how it's an assertive form of freedom. It's basically going, my freedom to take away your freedoms.
Yes, absolutely. But it totally is, because it's, I don't know, man. It's the thing about it is that there are some people on the anti side who are like, this isn't important. Australians don't really care. And it's like, so what do you care? It's not actually the pro-marriage equality side that has blown this up into such a political flashpoint, you know? It's the anti-side that just refuses to let it go and say, let's, you know, we could just get it done. And everyone gets on with their lives.
Yeah, if we lose the postal survey, we're not giving up. Like, we've never agreed to the legitimacy of it. It doesn't go anywhere until we have equality. This is not like the Republic referendum, where there was a disagreement on the model. And first of all, it needed a referendum because it was a constitutional change. So it became apparent that you couldn't get it through. Like, it's not like Parliament could do that. It had to go through a referendum. So that was people gave up for a bit because they couldn't get the numbers. So it was, you know, okay. But marriage equality, Parliament could pass it tomorrow. It's never going away until it happens.
No, and when it does happen, it kind of will go. I mean, no one's going to be marching in the streets to demand marriage equality after they've got it.
Yeah, I mean, people opposed no-fault divorce, but they gave up eventually. Like, there you are. There's a big change to the marriage. No-fault divorce. Did we have a plebiscite or a postal vote about that? No, we freaking didn't. It just happened.
And that change, you know, that's a profound change to the nature of the institution.
That changes everyone's marriage a hell of a lot more
actually does impact on your marriage, Lyle.
Well, I mean, very much so. It impacted on his first marriage because he got divorced and he's married a second time. He's very committed to traditional marriage. That's why he's married twice.
This is the thing. It doesn't, you know, the ad that says, you know, it's got a man and a woman, and it says, I'll never get to call her my wife. And it's like, what are you talking? Is anyone falling for that? You'll never get to. This is like Barnaby Joyce when he said, oh, I got these daughters and I want them to be able to marry men and I don't want that taken away from them. It's like, what are you on about? You can't possibly believe these things.
Dean Smith's bill did make heterosexual marriage illegal.
Oh, this is so, it's man, and who's falling for it, you know? Who actually, I know that the ACL doesn't really think that you'll never get to call a woman your wife again.
No, and they are deliberately just trying to play into people's prejudices and stupidities. And like, it's basically a scattergun approach of just keep throwing mud and they just got to peel off people one at a time, like undecided people. Like, we're talking about whoever it is who it's still at this point in 2017 still thinks that it's appropriate for the law to discriminate against LGBTI people. So, like, a core of that are religious fundamentalists. But then there's the rest of that, people who haven't come on board, are people who are buying really stupid, selfish lines. And so I've got a strategy for dealing with that. And we also do have to actually get on with Barnaby Joyce. So, okay, we've only had two of them. So the third, if we vote yes in the plebiscite. So far, you may have noticed that neither of the arguments that they've presented have anything to do with any of the actual marriage equality legislation that's gone up.
Correct.
You'll be surprised to hear that neither does number three out of three. Get your sort of bingo noise ready for this one, because it's the cause and effect thing again. parents won't be able to oppose the radical sex education program Safe Schools. If marriage is redefined, if marriage is redefined, there are consequential changes in education programs and policies in schools, and parents are increasingly excluded from having a say in the sex education of their children.
It's just, that's got, why? Like, if you were one of the undecideds saying, okay, I want to inform myself about this issue so I can make an informed decision, and the ACL told you this, wouldn't you go, hang on, why? Why does that follow? Like, given are people that, it's already, that dumb that they're just going to swallow that?
Well, given that safe schools happen is in existence now, and we don't have marriage equality, so clearly it's not an effect of it.
So what? I mean, you think that the marriage equality bill contains, you know, there's a hidden clause that says it will become a crime for parents to question safe schools? And I mean, look, I would think it would be bad if it was a crime for parents to question safe schools, but it's got nothing to do with it.
No, but and the question,
it's irrelevant.
Everything they've said about safe schools is a lie, except for the fact that safe schools does indeed support LGBTI kids and LGBTI people by teaching kids that there is nothing wrong with LGBTI people.
Yes.
And to be fair to Lyle, that the bit that he most fundamentally disagrees with is that bit. Like, there isn't a way of all the stuff where they're like, but if you follow a link to another link and another link on there, then you get to Google, and then you can type stuff into Google and off you go. Like, all the shit they say about that it links to this other program or which talks about penis tucking or something. Like, or the stuff where they try and fudge that there are teenagers who are, or possibly even prepubescent trans kids who are medically under the supervision of doctors who know what they're freaking doing. So again, nothing to do with marriage equality. But there are kids who are going through that process and puberty blockers so they can make decisions when they're older. And then there are older people who have physical, gender reassignment surgery, which some trans people may have, some don't. And the ACL tries to fudge those two things together to say that, like, that a child as young as four has had sex reassignment surgery. And you ask when, where. Like, that has never freaking happened. That is a lie. Mm. Like, they're trying to fudge those things together to make it sound like there are five-year-olds who are having their penis chopped off, which is not true. Like, that is simply a lie.
But I mean, you're perfectly correct in that the underlying message here is, if you know, from that side, is that if marriage equality passes, it will send a message that these people are equal to me. And therefore, that might open the gate to, you know, them being equal in other ways.
Well, that's right. Because, and we'll get to there if they vote no in a sec. And this is fun. This is what I think we are missing on the yes side of this. Lyle and the fundamentalists are not just trying to stop marriage equality passing. What they want, and we need to be shouting this, we need to be hitting back with this really hard, because the slippery slope that they're running, which is if marriage equality passes, then genders will be treated equally. LGBTI people will finally be equal before the law. That they are right. It is more than just marriage. It is about equality for LGBTI people. And that is definitely a consequence of marriage equality, because that's the point of marriage equality, because it's not about marriage. It is about equality before law. And that is precisely what these people object to. But they don't just object to LGBTI people. They object, Lyle rants against the sexual revolution. They object to people not fitting into the gender roles that match a hard line, old fashioned religious idea of the proper roles for men and women. And we need to be one of the big things we need to be doing, we need to be hitting the ACL currently will be putting, they'll be putting stuff in people's letterboxes saying, you know, so that LGBTI people have their neighbours reading stuff saying that they're a threat to kids. Nobody's putting anything in the letterboxes saying that the ACL are a threat to kids or the ACL have things. People are getting messages from the ACL about stuff that doesn't directly affect them but sounds scary. They're doing the whole ordinary people versus elites. They're doing freedom versus people who want to censor you. They're doing people who are threatening children. Now, I think that we need to hit back really hard on these, because all of those are areas where they are vulnerable. Who are the elitists? Roman Catholic Church from your giant fucking tax-free cathedrals and men in like ludicrously convoluted and ornate dresses? Like your outfit, like They are as elitist as you can come. These are not, they're not the common yeah. folk. Surely we can point back, this is the and freedom. They are not, first of all, the ACL are the people who want, you know, just censor the internet. They want an internet filter. These are not people who are in favour of freedom of speech. The only freedom they want is their freedom to deny other people freedom.
Yeah, and you're right. There is a need to hit back really hard on these things and to not, you know, it's a funny thing, you know, a lot of, you know, people like the ACL and like church leaders like to complain about, you know, religious faith being disrespected. But if anything, I think, you know, in public discourse, we've got too much respect for it and we're not allowed, you know, we hold back from really slamming these institutions for fear of upsetting religious people's sensibilities.
Have you seen the coverage? Like the Murdoch media are entirely on board with the anti-equality side. Like they're just getting a free kick. And the ABC's been completely muzzled. Like all of the media are using the anti-side's term for same-sex marriage, which denies intersex people and some trans people. And like it's not what we're seeking. We're seeking equality, marriage equality. But we're even the ABC is forced to use this term same-sex marriage.
I'll be honest, I don't mind the term same-sex marriage.
I think that it's exclusionary and it rules out some people.
I feel like the ABC has obviously a responsibility, you know, that it's a standard thing that ABC employees can't push in favour of a particular political position, like a government policy or whatever, or against it. But the terminology to me is not a matter of that. And I feel like that, you know, instruction to not use the term marriage equality is very much the ABC management sort of being afraid of, you know, Erica Betts at Estimates.
Oh, exactly.
And that sort of thing. And so they're timid and that, you know, and that is the fault of, you know, many years of the Liberal Party trying to destroy the ABC completely, unfortunately.
As part of their being neutral, they give the ACL a free... So say we had to have this...
See, I don't see why the ACL gets a voice at all, because you could give coverage to the No Argument and still leave the ACL completely out of it, because the ACL is irrelevant to everyone. Well, and they're nothing.
As soon as they say anything that's got nothing to do with marriage equality... They should be shut down. They'd be like, no, you're here to talk about the postal survey. So Safe Schools is not in the postal survey. It's got nothing to do with it. No, we're not. No, I'm sorry. We're not broadcasting.
And you can do that.
The ABC isn't.
Look, if you were talking about actual impartiality and not the impartiality that is actually designed to, as I say, avoid the government threatening their funding again.
Which is futile because the government's trying to make a deal with Pauline Hanson.
Anyway.
So, like, I don't understand. The ABC, there is nothing you can do that will make the Liberals not want to kick you. Because you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
Fundamentally, like, it's not just the bit that the Liberals hate you because they think that you're not on side. Like, you could never be as on side as the fucking Murdoch press. Like,
no, exactly.
You keep trying, but you can never be quite as far as the Murdoch press. Like, however far you go, the Murdoch press will go a bit further. You can't do it. But fundamentally, that even if you did exactly the same as the Murdoch press, they would be even more at war with you because one of the big parts of the war against you, the ABC, is that you are competing with the Murdoch press. They resent that you are competing with them at all.
I mean, they frequently say that explicitly. Say, oh, you're taking revenue away from us.
So the more right-wing shit the ABC does, the more they're competing with the Murdoch press in their own space.
Yeah. So there's no way out. So as you say, I mean... And there's nothing inherently partisan about doing, you know, interviewing someone and when they say something that's factually untrue, saying that's factually untrue, which is, you know, should be part of a good interviewer's technique, obviously.
I feel that we should have – so you've got Australians Marriage Equality and Equal Love, and you've got the big organisations there that are pushing the positive side of the case, which is – and although they're still going really hard on this love thing, which they're polling. It just does not seem as strong to me as they must think it is, given how prominent that is. But I would have thought that one of the giant things to be pushing is, bottom line, it's about every person being treated equally by the law. It's about ending one of the last bits of the law that discriminates against, that treats LGBTI people as second-class citizens. That's what we're fixing. It shouldn't be the case in 2017 that any Australian is treated as second-class citizen.
I think that's a strong line, because it's, you know, it's a very, it's basic and it's easy to understand, and it's not, you know, it can't be accused of emotionalism, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not,
you know, it's a bottom line. Yeah, it's a.
But that said, I also think we need possibly a spin-off part of Australia's marriage equality and equal love. Maybe they need to have a separate organisation that is out there, and it's the go hard negative side, and it's declaring war on the ACL, the part of the Catholic Church that is at war with them, that basically that group. And there needs to be stuff going into the same letterboxes that are getting, because we're getting hateful stuff in the letterbox demonising LGBTI people.
Mm.
There needs to be stuff in there that is, it's if you're a neutral person, if you haven't, if the appeal to equality hasn't reached you, then you're motivated by more selfish goals. So the stuff where they're saying it's about political, Tony Abbott's out there saying it's about political correctness, the bit where it's about, you know, your freedom of speech and stuff like that. The stuff that appeals to those people, I want to punch back against the elites, I want my freedoms, and I don't like political correctness. Okay, we need to have stuff that's going to letterboxes that makes them feel much worse about going with the ACL, pointing out that the ACL wants to take away your freedoms. If you're a woman, the ACL wants you back in the bloody kitchen. The ACL wants you shoved back into what they see as old-fashioned gender roles. Their war on gender isn't just about LGBTI people. They're coming for you next. And freedom of speech, these are the people who want to censor the internet. These are people who want to censor you. They're not interested in your freedom of speech. They're interested in taking your freedoms away. And elites, these are the people who are, you're busy paying your taxes, and these are the people, the Catholic Church up there, sitting up there in these vastly expensive cathedrals, telling
fabulously wealthy,
exactly,
these property property moguls, basically
a bunch of who's the no side? A bunch of ex prime ministers.
Yes,
you've got all of the big media organisations. And this line that the ACL's running that they're pushing uphill because the media, they're the underdogs because the media are all against them. That's not what's happening in the coverage. But there needs to be stuff going into the letterbox saying, and threat to children. You're hearing this from the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, wouldn't it be fantastic to sort of juxtapose, sort of run an alternating quotes from the church leaders warning of the dangers to children, and then quotes from the Royal Commission.
Well, and also the stuff this week where the church leaders are saying that they will resist the law about revealing when there's a threat to children that's revealed in the confessional.
Yeah. Not just in marriage, this particular context, can we make more of that in general? Like these fucking archbishops saying, you know, my God is telling me that I have a duty to protect, you know, violent criminals.
I feel like if we're going to have a plebiscite on something, we should have a plebiscite on religions being tax-free.
But yes.
Absolutely. And let me just preempt the first response people say when people say against that when you propose religions not being tax-free. Oh, but what about all the charity work they do? No. Charities are already tax-free.
Charities can be tax-free you're running a charity.
That's fine. The religious tax exemption is for religions other than charity.
Other than charities, yeah.
So why should they have that? Yeah, anyway, so look, if anybody's listening to this who's connected to any of the campaigns, please set up a dirt unit quickly and be putting this shit in letterboxes, because you're not reaching, your campaign is the logical, honest one that is actually about what's being proposed. But those are not the people who are going to, the people who are going to lose it for us, who are going to vote against us. Obviously we're not going to switch to the hardcore religious fundamentalists. But we need to be the person who hasn't made up their mind, the person who is a potential target that the ACL is going after. We need to get in there first and inoculate them against the ACL. We need them to see the ACL for what they are, which is anti-freedom, fundamentalist, control freak, liars who are a threat to children themselves, and who they're going after the LGBTI people now. But if they get their way on this, they'll be emboldened and they'll come after you next. And keep in mind that they've got enough power right now that they were able to get the government to spend $120 million on a non-binding postal survey. If the no vote gets up, what will they be able to get from the government next?
It's surreal that it's even happening. Honestly, it's absurdism.
Do you really want the religious fundamentalists controlling your life like they want to control the gay people's lives?
Yeah, and most people, even, you know, even fairly religious people, most people don't want that, I believe.
Oh, yeah, and poor old, also, if you're one of the Christians who are not represented by the ACL, you guys, seriously, you need to organise.
I.e. almost every Christian.
You have the same... Okay, the ACL has the massive advantage, and the religious right has a massive organisation that massive advantage that they get. They have a meeting every Sunday morning. Like, they're organised. They're up in the morning when we're still asleep. Like, religion is organised. Organised religion is organised.
Yes, it is.
Hence the name. So, if you're the Christians who are, you know, like the Gosford Anglican Church, the people who are actually, you know, believe in what Jesus actually talked about and are, you know, more concerned about the plight of the poor than controlling other people's sex lives, then please, love of God, use the fact that you are also meeting every Sunday morning and organise yourselves and create an alternative group to the ACL, because they're not just harming gay people, they're harming the good name of Christians.
Yes. Oh, they're destroying the brand.
Yeah, you guys need to get onto this really fast, because these bastards are destroying it for you. They are pissing in your pool quite badly.
Yeah.
Your font, whatever. Before we leave the marriage equality thing, so that was those three things were their yes case, which none of them had anything to do with the legislation. And the other side of it is, if we vote no in the plebiscite, one,
yes,
we send a strong message on family, faith, and freedom. Now, that is true. They send the message that Australia is a hardline, brutal...
You do. It's an awful message, but it is a strong one.
They send a message that we are a stupid theocracy that believes dumb lies.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a message. Okay, two, parents can continue to teach their children about their own beliefs about gender, sexuality, and marriage. That is true if you vote no in the plebiscite.
That is true, parents can do that.
Also, if you vote yes,
parents can do that.
Exactly.
And, you know, if the government announces to scrap the idea tomorrow, you can do that.
I think what they're worried about, when they say the only way in which the world moving on could change that is what they want to be able to do is have parents who are homophobic to bully and torment their LGBTI children. They want to have the power to make their children's lives a misery and not to have some do-gooder mental health professional at the school supporting their child and, you know, putting their child in a position where their child doesn't commit suicide for being bullied at home and for their sexuality.
I think the thing is that, you know, these people are disgusted that there are people who do not share their religious beliefs, and they think it's disgusting that when parents teach their children their religious beliefs, that honest parents will have to admit, yes, there are people who don't believe the same things as us. That's a terrible idea for them, that children could ever grow up thinking there's more than one option when it comes to belief.
Yeah. Isn't that brilliant? The idea that I don't want my child at school to be exposed to anything other than my personal religion, which is...
And I mean...
Wrong.
You know what? The horse is fucking bolted.
And you shouldn't have that power.
We live in a rainbow world and you're not going to be able to take it back.
I don't think that's a right you should be able to assert as a parent, the right to deny my children, like, an appreciation of the real world. It's like saying, I don't believe in maths. I don't think my child should be allowed to learn about maths.
Pretty much. I not only don't want my child to learn maths, I don't want my child to know maths exists.
That's right.
I don't want my child to know that there are people out there who can add.
and I'm sick of you do-gooder, lefty liberal scumbags coming in here and trying to override my parental right to deny to my child the existence of mathematics.
We were down at the shops and there were these two men and they had calculators and I don't know how I explained that to my kids.
Exactly. It's an outrage. They do that. They cite there's some UN convention they reckon that about the right of parents to teach their children their own beliefs. Okay.
Really? The right wing's all for the UN now, is it?
I know. I love that. Nobody really believes that a parent's right to teach their kids stuff is absolute. Like, surely most of us, if a parent...
Because...
We have compulsory education. We don't maintain a parent's right to like teach their child to deny their child education. Like parents don't have that right.
No, parents don't have the right to teach their children to take heroin.
No, you know we do see so there are, we do
there
have
are,
limits.
There are limits.
And
I don't think anyone – look, if you say to someone, do you think parents should be allowed to prevent their child from, you know, knowing facts about the world, then everyone would say, no, that's not right. But, you know, on as soon as religion comes into it, people abandon their principles because they think religious beliefs are a special case. Even non-religious people think that religious bullshit should get a pass.
Well, the last one. So far we've had 5 out of 5 have really nothing to do with the marriage equality legislation at all. And the fifth one, the final one, the third, if we vote no in the plebiscite, the sixth in their list is this. If we vote no in the plebiscite, we win the right to civil debate where political correctness has previously intimidated many into silence.
Oh, this... You know why this bugs me, Jeremy? I'm gonna make a personal confession here, because I am. You know, there are times there are lots of times when I see things that might be described as political correctness, and I think this is ridiculous. But it's really hard when the term political correctness, as used here, is just means people wanting to disagree with the ACL.
I don't think I have ever heard the term political correctness used by somebody not being a fuckwit. It is only ever used...
I have to differ with you.
Okay. Give me an example of the term political correctness being used that is not being used in a fuckwit way.
Now, of course, I have to troll back through a minute. Look, I hate the term because... It's not. It doesn't. No one really agrees on what it actually means. So I wish. I wish the term wasn't used at all. But
cool.
It's kind of like
it is a nonsense term. The only people using it are people who are pretending it's something it's not. Like it's some kind of authoritarian.
Well, no. I would say it's not so much a matter of pretending something it's not. I would say it's not a thing. It's not anything.
No.
You know, there are better. You know, in terms of things that actually might be. Bad, there are better terms. In terms of things that are good, that might be bad. You know, that there are better things. Well, there are better terms.
This paragraph here, they mean precisely the opposite too. We win the right to civil debate where political correctness... What they mean is political correctness has intimidated me. So we've been previously felt... We felt bad about saying that LGBTI people should be treated as second-class citizens. But now, if we get up on the postal survey, then the numbers will get more people crawling out under the woodwork who will, you know, in a really civil way, declare that LGBTI people should be second class citizens who are denied equality before the law, like, but in a civil way. Because Ben, have you noticed this debate so far? It's been so civil.
this is what I hate about when people so dishonestly, I guess, civil debate. Is really the thing that the phrase we should be focusing on here, because what they want is to phrase it so that, say, we are the side in favour of civil debate, so if you're opposed to us, you must be saying you don't want civil debate. And that's where I'm coming from, is I love civil debate. That's not what you're about.
No,
you know?
But it's part of their shtick, and it's a big part of Lyle Shelton's
like,
shtick.
I personally don't want to censor... anyone. I'm very much in favor of freedom of speech. But you guys, that's not what you're about. You're bullshitting people. That's why I loathe it when these dishonest pricks try and try and position themselves as on the side of greater freedom when they're exactly the opposite.
The shtick that Lyle does, which is the but I'm only using polite words. I'm using a friendly, calm tone of voice. I will just say things like that LGBTI people are a threat to children, and that they should be treated as second-class citizens, and that their relationships are not, you know, equal to the rest of us, and that it's important for the law to discriminate against them. And I will suggest that, you know, their children children do badly, and that trans people are a threat to children, and that trans people are going to rape women in bathrooms. Look, I'm saying all of these things, but I'm doing it in a really calm, polite voice as I completely, brutally demonize other citizens in the most vicious, harmful ways I can possibly think of, in ways that will cause prejudice and violence against them in their real life. But because I do it in a polite, civil voice, you know, it's terrible when people come back and tell me to fuck off. They use rude words, Ben. They use rude words when all I've done is demonize their entire existence and attack them, you know, in ways that will harm them in their day-to-day life. They use rude words against me. They swear.
And that is the classic religious gambit, which can be boiled down to, you are uncivil because you called me an asshole. I am respectful because I only politely said that you are going to hell.
Yes.
And
I when I took the lesbian gardener into my office at Sanitarium, and I said, yeah, I'm sorry, but we've discovered that you're a lesbian and your lifestyle doesn't match with my personal religious beliefs, and our organisation apparently doesn't just make cereal. Our organisation, our company, apparently also has religious beliefs. Our company really is hoping to go to heaven when it dies. But anyway, look, I invited you in. I told you that I'm going to sack you because you're a lesbian, and you told me that I could go fuck myself. And really, I feel
there's
like...
There's no call for that.
That's right. I feel like my right to quite unfairly sack you for your sexuality is being oppressed by your language, your rude, oppressive language.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like... I feel like that is such disingenuous shit, and we need to call him on. And every time they talk about civil debate while they're having the entire fundamentals of the debate are not civil at all. They're about rather brutally enforcing discrimination and prejudice against people. Yeah. So, and the last thing I want to say on this whole subject of the main thing I want to say is, please, for the love of God, if you're in any way involved in any of the organisations campaigning for the Yes side, please, guys, you need to get organised. You need to get the unit that is out there putting things in people's letterboxes, pointing out how anti-freedom and scary and fundamentalist the ACL are, and how they're coming for you next. Like, when they run the slippery slope, because they see it as an argument of worldviews. Of on our side, we see that LGBTI people should be equal and treated equally, and we can move past a world in which people are shoved into firm gender boxes. That's what they want to... They genuinely are afraid of that slippery slope. Because it's not really a slippery slope. That's the whole point. And they,
yes,
and the corollary of that is that they genuinely want to undo all that. They want to undo us all having gender... They want to undo the
of
sexual revolution.
They
want to undo...
That's why they exist.
They would like to criminalize gay people. They would like to, you know, if you enjoy having sexual freedoms and not being, you know, flogged by the church for adultery, if you like... If you don't like being stuck, if you think no fault divorce is a good thing, and that you're not stuck being married in a miserable marriage where you both made a mistake when you were 20, if you feel like as a woman you don't want to be shoved into hardline old school gender roles that we've made progress on, then vote yes, because these people want to go back on all of those things. They don't just want to stop gay people marrying.
Yeah, that is why the ACL was formed. It's a lobby. They lobby to change, to control other people's lives.
And I think they
lobby for power. That's what lobbyists do. They lobby for more control over other people.
And how much more emboldened are they going to be if they get up with a no? Like, they've already got
exactly
$122 million of our money to attack LGBTI people. Who are they going to attack next? If the LGBTI people go away, like, who is next? Like, if they get there anyway, so I feel like that is really important. Then we are not doing that, and they are gonna freaking win if we don't. So I think that
absolutely.
But the last thing I wanted to say was this whole, because on the subject of the media, and this will neatly segue into the other bullshit right wing going over the top thing, which is the councils and the Australia Day thing, which will lead us neatly into Denise is stuck in my craw. But the last thing on this was, you saw the thing that the Australian was running where Carolyn Marcus from the Daily Telegraph, piece of work, Carolyn Marcus. Sorry, I was listening to Tom, you know, Tom Ballard's podcast, like I'm a 6-year-old.
Sure.
He had a live one with and possibly, you know, a future nearby guest host of this podcast too. But he had Carolyn Marcus on in a live one, and the horrible right wing stuff she says that doesn't. Anyway, she had a real go in the Daily Telegraph about Michael Kirby and Emma Alberici for supporting the Yes case. And Emma Alberici, did you see what Alberici said back?
I did, and I can't recall.
I forgot to say. It was something mild where she's like, oh, nice bullying what a ridiculous attack on me or something back to Sir Carol Marcus. And then the Australian went completely feral, declaring that she was bullying Marcus.
Yes.
So Marcus writes a piece in the Daily Telegraph attacking Emma Alberici. Emma Alberici tweets something back going, that's kind of nonsense. And then the Australian runs a whole thing claiming that Emma Alberici from the ABC is bullying a News Limited writer.
How glass-jawed are these people? It's
terrifying.
They're so soft. They're just such soft, weak, pathetic people. Can't take anything. They don't take anything. They complain about political correctness ruining, you know, the capacity for robust debate. As soon as anyone even mildly opposes their views, they cry. They wet their pants. They're pathetic people.
Well, they're
the softest, weakest people. You can't get hired by News Limited unless you are just soft and weak and constantly crying into the bottom of a glass, trying to drink away your sorrows because a nasty ABC lady said you were wrong about something. Oh,
that's pretty much them. I have to say, from all of the coverage of this that I've seen, you know how the ACL were talking about how, you know, they're fighting uphill because of all of the media is against them. I'm really looking forward to getting some of this pro-equality media because I don't think I've seen any of it. I mean, maybe they're saving it up for us because look, I'm going to be pretty excited when they start broadcasting some. Don't you? It's going to be pretty bloody thrilling.
You'll find it in our old friends Fairfax.
Well, we'll find it in The Guardian. Did you see The Guardian, by the way? They're like,
We
will not be covering any of these bullshit non-arguments that have got nothing to do with the postal survey. And they're like, if they come up with some arguments that are actually about the postal survey, we will happily broadcast the no case. But we're not going to be broadcasting the stuff that they say that is not. And then the right were attacking them and being, oh, you control free, you're denying our freedom. And they're like, I'm sorry, at what point did the Guardian agree that they had to publish every nonsense thing that Lyle Shelton comes up with?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, News Limited feels no obligation to publish everything, every argument from the Yes side.
Or any arguments from the Yes side, really.
Or any arguments from the Yes side.
All right. The one that matched that is this thing where Yarra Council today did something that apparently required the entire country to pile on. But I believe that it is stuck in Denise's craw and she has some things to say about it.
Hello again. It is Denise back with what's stuck in my craw. There's been, for about the past year, some things rumbling around that a few councils have considered not holding citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day. Whenever this comes around and whenever this rumbling happens, the federal government that we currently have stands up and says, you can't do that. And if you do that, we'll take away your ability to hold citizenship ceremonies at all because you're politicizing something that shouldn't be political. When really, it's more about that council supporting Indigenous people and not supporting the idea that we hold Australia Day on the 26th of January. Well, today, they actually did take away the ability of a council to perform citizenship ceremonies at all. That would be the City of Yarra. They have withdrawn the ability of the office holders of the City of Yarra to have citizenship councils because they are no longer going to recognize Australia Day or hold citizenship ceremonies on it. The thing is, isn't it a political act by the government to make that statement? It's political of our government, of our federal government, to sit there and say that you must recognize Australia Day. It's political of them to say that you must hold a citizenship ceremony on this day. It's by them a political statement to say that you have to continue recognizing something that there's a lot of support around the country to stop recognizing on that day. And it bothers me that they are willing to basically say, we don't care about the indigenous population. We don't care that you are making a principled stand. We don't care about any of this. You just have to do exactly what we tell you. That you aren't allowed to be political, but we are, and you must follow our political leanings and not have any of your own that disagree with ours. Ha ha ha. Because in a way, that's all it feels like to me. It feels like them being very, continuing to be very petty about yet another thing. So today, that is what's stuck in my craw, dear listener.
I do love the idea that there is a neutral apolitical position on Australia Day, which is that it should be on January 26th, because it's always been like that for the last, you know, 23 years,
yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it's always been there.
I mean, look, well, you know, it's been there, but it hasn't been a holiday for that long.
Well, it's also been on different dates throughout.
They've had various things. I mean, obviously, the anniversary of the landing is the anniversary of the landing.
It's not the landing anyway. The landing was 18th of January.
That's the landing at Botany Bay. This is the raising of the flag.
Yeah, exactly.
In Sydney Cove.
I think they actually landed there a few days earlier than the 26th as well.
This is the ceremony that they held.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a silly.
Well, hang on. So Yarra, the council voted not to recognise Australia Day on January 26th. And why the freaking hell can't it? Like, that's got nothing to do with whether they hold citizenship ceremonies or not. Like, why? I don't understand why, like, citizenship ceremonies for people who live in that area are held hostage by the government to keep councils in line to make sure they celebrate January 26th for Australia Day. What the hell? Like, why is that a thing that the federal government should be enforcing?
The weird thing is that the argument is just over the date. Now, I can understand people being upset if someone, you know, people are saying, hey, we shouldn't have an Australia Day. You know, I'm fine with the idea of saying let's have a national day. But the idea that if you put it on a different date, it won't work somehow. Or the idea that people actually have a very deep personal connection to January 26th, no one does. No one does. It's not an important date for anyone living in Australia Day. Significant historically, but no one has a connection to that date apart from the people, of course, who find it, hurtful.
Well,
to have a celebration on that day.
Understandably,
and so it's like what we have is a situation where there are some people who, you know, having a celebration on that date is hurtful. And then there's all the other people to whom, let's be realistic, it doesn't hurt them one either way.
No.
So let's just change it. There's no harm. See, and this is where it's quite similar to the marriage equality debate. You got one, you know, you have some people to whom it actually matters, and other people who either way it won't affect their lives at all. So why are people who aren't going to be affected by it resisting the change? It doesn't matter. No one can actually say, I love Arthur Phillip so much that I can't stand that you are desecrating his memory. No one's that attached to that particular event, you know. No one, it won't matter. And
but there was that year that I listened to Horse 100 and I, like, had a really good day. And I want to commemorate, like, that day forever.
It's like, I can't have a good day on another date. It's insane. It's a ridiculous thing. And it's like, I get that, you know, it's tradition and historical inertia that might have prevented action on it. But don't pretend that it is actually going to hurt you to change the day.
Oh,
it just isn't.
He went for this. So this is from the Fairfax story on it. These are Turnbull quotes today. And I want to say them and then, like, launch into each of them. Because, first of all, while he acknowledged white settlement had been, quote, tragic for Indigenous Australians, he said January 26th was about recognising the greatness of our achievements. What the fuck are our great achievements on January 26th? What's the date has nothing to do with whatever our achievements are.
And that is the whole point, isn't it?
Yes.
There are so many great achievements. They're not linked to that specific date.
They didn't all happen on January. Well, I suspect none of them happened on January 26th.
And the biggest thing for me is that, you know, I remember the bicentennial year. There were a lot of parties. It was, you know, there were a lot of fun stuff happening. I was just a kid, obviously, but people were saying, which I didn't question at the time, oh, it's the 200th anniversary of Australia. It's not. Australia didn't become a nation in 1788. It can, you know, you can. 1901 is when Australia became a nation. There is no way in which an entity called Australia came into existence on January 26, 1788. It's not the anniversary of a country at all.
Nor did we have the same flag either, the one that they were like, oh, we are 400. No, that's not the flag.
No, of course not.
Gallipoli, it was a totally different flag, you nuts.
Yes, and the land mass that the first fleet arrived at wasn't even called Australia. So there's nothing there, and it's like, of course, I love a big party celebrating the great things about Australia. It's going to be just as good a party on any other day of the year. I promise you, people of Australia, I promise you, we will have a fucking ace time whenever we have the party. I swear it.
All right, I want to go through the rest of the bonkers things that people have said. In the
sure. There are oh, sure, sure. Go on,
okay.
Go on.
So first of all, January 26 is about recognising great... No, that's got nothing to do with January 26. He described the council decision, so not to recognise January 26, as, quote, utterly out of step with Australian values. No.
Meaningless. Australian values is a phrase that is used by people just to let you know they have nothing meaningful to say.
I'd like him to list our values. What are they going to say? Like mateship and the fair go and January 26 being really important? What? It's mad. And then they are seeking to take a day which unites Australia and turn it into one which divides us. No, you dickhead. January 26 is specifically a date that divides us. Like, we could
that
not
pick... That is why this is happening. Obviously, it divides us. That's why you're making a statement
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. He's coming
if
in
because... If it didn't divide us, you wouldn't be saying this.
News Limited made a giant furore about this, which is why Turnbull's getting involved, because it fucking divides us. Like, if it didn't
divide... You wouldn't have a call to comment on us if it wasn't dividing us, you... Oh, my God. And how could any other date divide... I mean, okay, it's... I don't... What other date would divide it? I mean, if we chose the date of... I don't know.
If we chose John Howard's birthday, that might divide.
Yeah, if Australia Day was John Howard's birthday. If Australia Day, I don't know, the date of the Port Arthur massacre.
I feel like that would also unite us. Like, I don't feel... there's not really two sides on that one.
It's like, oh...
We picked Lyle Shelton's birthday.
There are problems with having it on the anniversary of Federation because it's the 1st of January. Yeah. But if we say we did put it on
planning.
That day, right?
That was very poor
say
planning.
Say we did put it on that day, right? How would that divide Australia?
Would
you have all the ones who all the people who thought Federation was a bad idea getting really angry?
How about the date that the referendum passed where it finally removed the bits of the constitution that enable the government to discriminate against Indigenous Australians? Which is bullshit, what it did is it gave the federal parliament the power to discriminate against Indigenous Australians instead of the states.
That's a very commonly misunderstood referendum. But, look, there's a lot of dates, and to be honest, just stick a pin in the calendar. It doesn't matter what day your national day is on. What matters is what you do on it, what you do with it. Make it a good day. Doesn't matter what date it's on.
Yes, you know.
It just doesn't.
As Doc Brown said to Jennifer at the end of Back to the Future 3.
time is an illusion. Is what I'm saying to Malcolm.
That's Ford Prefect. No, that's...
Oh, no, yeah, time is an illusion.
Lunchtime, doubly so. That's Ford Prefect. Yeah. And I think Doc Brown was life is what you make it, so make it a good one. Although it was Australia Day or something, one or the other. He was talking about life for Australia Day. But we're not finished with Malcolm Turnbull's bonkers remarks that are insane.
Good. Go
there's
on.
Only one more, but it's probably... It's where the bonkersness culminates. To change the date of Australia Day would be to turn our back on Australian values, on the great achievement of 24 million Australians here in the greatest, most successful multicultural society in the world.
You know what? There are times, Jeremy, when you realise you're wasting your time making counter-arguments. All you need to do is just, if someone says that to you, all you want to do is go up to them and say, how? Explain. Explain that statement, Malcolm.
There's also derisive
Explain
laughter.
The mechanism by which that happens.
You could go with derisive laughter. Doesn't it do the same thing? I think you're right. Ask him how.
You feel yourself getting dumb if you even bother to address the points. You know what I mean? Because it's so obviously bullshit that it feels like you're being trite to even point out that it's bullshit.
So we pick a date that works for Indigenous people, which is what we should do. And as soon as that happens, we immediately, officially turn our back on Australian values. The great achievements of 24 million Australians are immediately erased from history. They're gone, Ben. They're not there anymore. And also, we, a country that brutally imprisons refugees on remote islands because we're terrified of a small number of them coming here, we, the country that had the freaking Cronulla riots, we are still the greatest, most successful multicultural society in the world, apparently.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. If you believe it, then why would a change of date... Why is it so fragile that that whole self-image will be shattered by a change of date?
Look, we are such a successful...
Do you believe in Australia or not? I happen to actually think there's a lot of good things about Australia, and I'm confident that good can overcome evil in the end. I don't think Malcolm Turnbull is. I think Malcolm Turnbull, you know, is down on Australia. I don't think he thinks much of this country, and I think his statements show it.
Well, to be fair, what has the government done in return? In reverse, to punish the council for this, it has decided to declare that Australia, people who are about to become Australian citizens will not be allowed to have it done by their council on that day. They are punishing potential citizens. So Australia is the greatest, most successful multicultural society in the world. That is why I'm going to punish people who are trying to become citizens by not letting them have that citizenship ceremony in the council where they live.
This is so ludicrous. And it's that disingenuousness. It's that dishonesty, because what they're trying to, the impression that is trying to be made here is that the proposal is to abolish Australia Day. You know, is that the proposal is to say, everyone, you're not allowed to celebrate Australia Day at all anymore. You're not allowed to celebrate Australia. Everyone has to don sackcloth and ashes and talk nonstop about how much we hate ourselves. That's what, you know, News Limited, Malcolm Turnbull want us to think the proposal is, when the proposal is actually, let's make it easier for everyone to celebrate Australia.
By the way, though,
let's make Australia Day a better celebration.
Do you know what makes it hard for me to celebrate Australia? What we're fucking doing to refugees.
Like, I have a fair idea, Jeremy.
I find it very hard to celebrate a country that's doing that to refugees.
Absolutely.
I also find it really hard and also a country that refuses to acknowledge its past. Like, so this whole thing where they're like, look, can we just move on from the horror, the things that we did to Indigenous people that we have erased from the history books that we're trying to pretend never happened? Can't we just move on without acknowledging it and just hope it disappears into history? Why can't Indigenous people just get over the stuff we did to them that we refuse to acknowledge? And, you know, why can't they heal in a way that doesn't in any way involve us acknowledging what our country is built on? And I feel like, no, fuck off. I certainly want to progress. I want us to move on, but we have to actually...
There's a process that has to be gone through.
And it's not like skip over everything we did and just pretend it didn't happen.
The funny thing about that question is it's a question that is asked because the answer has already been given. It's a question people ask. It's explained to them why we can't just move on. And they ask the question, why can't we move on, in response to the answer. It's an interesting inversion of the usual interrogative process.
Oh my god! And then, okay, so the other quote's in here. Alex Hawke, evil bastard, is who's in charge of this. Okay, so some ceremonies are now going to, in Yarra, in those boundaries, the Department of Immigration and Border Protection are going to do the citizenship ceremonies. Can you imagine that, becoming a citizen of Australia with the fucking black shirt?
I hope they wear those big insect masks that they have. Those, like, you know the fly helmets.
Welcome aboard to our successful multicultural fascist police state.
They're very effective to make sure that the, you know, people trying to get into Australia are never sure that there's actually a human being inside the uniform.
Terrifying. Alex Hawke. I am surprised and disappointed that the city of Yarra has chosen to pursue this divisive approach, he said, before then going and punishing them and the citizens of the council by refusing to let them have citizenship ceremonies in an extremely divisive way.
I guess it's a government that finds it so hard to really get anything done. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things it actually wants to do that it hasn't really been able to do. And so it's...
Because they're all evil.
It can't even... A lot of even the evil stuff, they're not even good at doing it. So they fall back on just being, you know, pettily mean for its own sake.
Look, Alex,
because at least it creates the impression of activity.
Oh God! And then our representatives, not ours, because I'm not going to believe vote for the ALP. They vote for offshore detention. But we have Bill Shorten and Daniel Andrews just beclowning themselves. Bill Shorten is against the move, saying that reconciliation was more about changing hearts and minds than moving a public holiday. It's a day. Fuck off, you dickhead.
Well,
The days... Anyway.
I mean, yes, I guess. True. I mean, I don't think anyone's saying move the date, then reconciliation is finished.
Yeah, no.
It's a bit of a straw man.
But I feel like as it's like the Briggs, like the AB original song about Australia Day, was about, it's like, you know, why don't we just pick the date that your grandmother died and have a piss up on her grave or something? Like, it's such a fucking insulting... Like, the only reason you could not have a problem with 26th of January being Australia Day is if you have willfully refused to take into account what we've done as a country. Like,
yes.
the very act of not minding the date is in and of itself a big fucking swipe at Indigenous people, because you're basically saying, I don't give a fuck about what we've done to you, and I'm not going to find out about it, and I am so arrogant and contemptuous of you as a person that I'm not even going to listen to what you're saying to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, more than that, I mean, it's. I feel like it's almost saying to the people who do object to the date, it's almost saying, I don't really believe that you care about this. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost saying, you're just making this up. You actually have no strong feelings about the date. So I'm going to leave it there, because you Aboriginal people, you don't really care. You're just stirring up trouble. It's like, it's basically rude.
It's
nasty.
To be fair, it's neither the rudest nor the nastiest thing we've done to Indigenous people.
No, but it's like often the little petty things are the things that really highlight the attitude, aren't they?
Like
often the small gestures are the ones that really highlight how mean people can be. Because there's not even any point to standing up for the 26th of January. You're not defending anything that is even of value to you, let alone to anyone else.
Oh, no, a lot of it does feel... In fact, a lot of what conservatives do does feel like specifically what will make the left... what will piss off the left. Like, lefties want us to do something, therefore, out of childish spite, we will not. This list of quotes from today, I'm not finished yet. Daniel Andrews, good guy Premier Daniel Andrews, who does, you know, has been generally pretty decent, still came out with this shit. I think we get the balance right on Australia Day. We respect the traditional owners of our land, but we then get on in a really unified way. No debate. We're not respecting the traditional owners of the land if we're picking the date that we dispossess.
Traditional owners of the land are telling you that they don't want it to happen on that date, and you're just telling them to fuck off.
Oh, but they've got, as Robert Dawe said, we always have the most senior Wurundjeri elder, Auntie Joy, who does provide a welcome to country in the most generous, spirited way on Australia Day each year. Yeah, but if you ask Auntie Joy, she'd probably prefer you to pick a different fucking date. Okay, there's one last one. Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy, you know, Guy, the
mafioso.
He just had a lobster with a mobster.
Seafood fan.
The mobster lobster dude. Yeah.
Yeah. The lover of the Ferg burger.
Is there another word that rhymes with lobster other than mobster? I just feel like it was certainly the most obvious rhyme, and he should have been aware of that, and it should have been ringing alarm bells when he saw lobster on the menu.
Yes, I know. I mean, you've only yourself to blame.
The power of rhyme, Matthew. Goodness. Guy? Anyway, this. So he went the next step. So the federal government is punishing the council for objecting to 26th of January by taking away their ability to do citizenship ceremonies on any day. Matthew Guy wants more than that. He said, if the Yarra Council doesn't pull its head in, they should be sacked by the state government. Australia Day is a day of celebration and inclusion, and these councillors are using it to drive a wedge through our community, he said, whilst demanding that they be sacked to drive a wedge through the community.
I'll be generous to Matthew Guy and say...
Don't be.
I understand that you have a lot of things you want us to look away from at the moment.
good point. Fair call.
What I don't get is Daniel Andrews. It's like, Dan, you're a Labor guy and you don't have control of the extra thing. So you don't really have to take any action. All that you could just say, you know what? I see their point and maybe we could change it to another day. You could make quite a mild statement of support. You don't have to fall in behind fucking Malcolm Turnbull.
And look, Daniel. I'm sure that over the last few days, the Herald Sun has probably gone completely feral on this. I haven't been reading the Herald Sun. I don't know. But this is the thing. And I know, look, you probably didn't want to piss off but, you know, the kind of idiots who are getting fired up by this. And on Talkback, you probably were like, you know what? I've got other things to fight about at the moment. I'm going to back down on this. And sure, I'm betraying Indigenous people. But ultimately, yeah, this is one of the lower level betrayals of them. And also, I'm not actually in power to... It's not like Daniel Andrews can substantially improve things for Indigenous people as a state premier, really. It's after that referendum.
Yes.
So it's not like the states were doing a good job before the referendum either, but now in particular they can't. Anyway, I get that. Except, Daniel, you could have still been supportive because it's not like the Herald Sun's going to like you anyway. The Herald Sun will be telling vicious, stupid lies about you until you eventually are no longer premier. Like, you are never going to get them on side. You shouldn't want them on side. The fact that they hate your guts is one of the best things about you. It's a ringing endorsement.
About Dan Andrews. Usually, I think he's pretty good with that sort of thing. Like, he doesn't generally seem like he's, you know, crawling to Murdoch.
No. I would hope that if I ever ran for politics, which I couldn't, but if I ever did, I would hope that they'd dig up every one of these ranty, silly podcasts and found anything that could potentially be distorted the wrong way. And they dug up the dirt and they threw every bit of shit at me that they could possibly find. And there's plenty. And I would love them to do that because it would mean that I was on the right side. Like, I mean, sure, they could twist stuff so it would be personally embarrassing. And yet, the very fact that they were doing that is a pretty ringing endorsement for everyone who's not a fuckwit.
Yeah, it's reassuring.
Imagine if the Herald Sun, like, if you ran for office and the Herald Sun endorsed you and was nice about you.
Embarrassing. Like, how'd you live that down?
I'd be humiliated. Hello, this is Jeremy being dropped in because we totally forgot in the podcast. We got so carried away with all the other things to actually mention the... You know, the Barnaby Joyce thing, the thing where the government might actually fall, the thing where Julie Bishop is trying to pretend that there's some great conspiracy between the Labor Party and the New Zealand Labor Party and trying to create a diplomatic incident, basically, in order to try and defend Barnaby Joyce, who turns out to be very likely to be a New Zealand citizen. He, of course, unlike the Greens, more like his colleague Canavan, hasn't actually resigned. He is fighting it in the High Court and maintaining his vote in the meantime. But, of course, the government only has one vote majority. It doesn't have a vote to spare. He probably would win a by-election, or a similarly right-wing person would probably win a by-election in his seat. But the government is not exactly in a position where it can afford to lose him, and Labor's having chats with the backbenchers. So that is going up before the High Court, I think, next week. So we will address that more in next week's episode, but I just thought I'd better drop something in to note that that actually happened. And obviously it's something that well-may-we-sayers may want to keep an eye on. And another breaking update, Friday morning. Fiona Nash, the Nationals' deputy leader, so Barnaby Joyce, the leader of the Nationals, Fiona Nash, deputy leader, also apparently a citizen of another country, thereby falling foul of Section 44. Like Barnaby, like Canavan, like the other Conservatives, she is going to fight it tooth and nail, so the High Court will have to make a decision. If the High Court makes a decision that supports Joyce, that enables Joyce and Nash to stay, notwithstanding Section 44, whilst we've lost Larissa Waters and Scott Ludlam because they just tried to be respectful and dignified and just resigned when they found this out, if we've lost you two and we didn't need to, I am going to be incredibly annoyed. By the way, the other thing about the Fiona Nash thing is this should have been in the podcast this week. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that we forgot about Barnaby. But she knew apparently on Monday. They waited until the last minute on Thursday when it was too late to do anything about it. They waited until just before Parliament was rising to reveal it. So they had a whole week where she'd been voting and participating in Parliament, knowing that she wasn't eligible, and they left it at the last second. I mean, it's just the level of contempt that these people show. But they get away with it. That said, that's the top two Nationals who are going. And the Nationals are the large part of the coalition party room that are opposed to marriage equality. These are... The Liberals have, to a large extent, particularly Turnbull, has been unable to move on marriage equality because he fears the Nationals pulling the plug on the government. If Joyce and Nash shouldn't ever have been there... Anyway, we'll talk more about it next week. All right, so let's quickly do Australia versus Humanity. This is Future Jeremy being dropped in because when we recorded this on Wednesday night, we didn't know about Thursday morning's Courier Mail front cover. And this is so outrageous it needs a retort. So the Courier Mail has got photographs of asylum seekers on Manus Island in the water. And you look, one of them looks a bit happy. And then there's pictures of them drinking something from a thing, and one of them standing in front of a beach. So naturally, the Courier Mail headline is "On tour with the boys to Manus, taking the bliss, asylum seekers holiday happy snaps from quote hell." Protesting Manus Island asylum seekers who complain they are trapped in a living hell have posted online photos of themselves on, quote, holidays in a sun-drenched beach paradise. In an embarrassing blow to protest group Get Up, one of the sun seekers snapped living up it up on an island just off Manus is also the face of its new campaign, right, accusing Australians of being inhumane. The photos above show Iranian Benam Mogimi Kivaj, who tried to get into Australia by boat and fronts the Get Up ad, sipping coconut milk and wrestling playfully with his mates in the crystal blue water. His pal Waleed Zazai, an asylum seeker with designer stubble, gold-rimmed sunglasses, and an on-trend white shirt, boasted on Facebook about their, quote, lovely trip with his, quote, cute, beautiful, and best ever friends. So, this is along the lines of prisoners have flat-screen TVs because the government doesn't spend a whole lot of money going and tracking down old cathode ray tube TVs. Or an asylum seeker has a mobile phone. Therefore, everything's fine. This one's even one step further. This one is, we've got a photograph of them smiling, therefore you can discount that they say they're living in hell. Of course, if they weren't living in hell, they're really, really keen to leave this, what was it, sun-drenched paradise with crystal blue water? It's weird how keen they are to leave that place if it's such a paradise. It's weird how the government isn't willing to let people go and talk with them and investigate the conditions and only lets people who are already defenders of the government go there. Weird that. I'm sure the Courier Mail will be allowed to go there now if they're willing to turn one of these camps that I'd be more than happy for them to spend some time in themselves. And I'm sure that many of the asylum seekers, in fact, all of the asylum seekers would be more than happy to do a swap. This is nothing more than really brutal propaganda. And it's brutal in two ways. One is, it is purely designed to for the Joe public who isn't paying any attention to what's going on, and also apparently to buy this, you'd have to be a bit stupid. But it's designed to make you think, oh, well, see, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to prick my guilty. My conscience is clear. I don't have to pay any attention when people are pointing out the brutality is happening there, because I've now got this sort of little thing in the back of my head going, oh, it's not that bad there, really. In fact, it's kind of nice. And I'm willing to bet that the comments to the online version of this article will be full of people going, why am I paying for them to be on this island? They should be deported back immediately into danger. And they, why am I paying taxes for this? And how lucky they are, and how dare they complain, how ungrateful they are, or something like this. So, yeah, it's a really cynical effort at undermining any time that the government is held to account for what it's actually doing to these people. And in that sense, the Courier Mail is effectively a propaganda arm for the government covering up for atrocities, which is appalling. The other thing that it does, which I sort of realised when I woke up this morning, because this had been stuck in my head overnight and it had been really annoying me. The other thing is that what it says is, if you are being persecuted by us, you have to make sure that you at no stage smile or look happy. You have to police your face 24 hours a day, because if we catch you looking happy, if you find a glimmer of hope and pleasure in the 24 hours of your day that we are persecuting you, if you dare to, you know, grin ironically at something or an amusing thought occurs to you and you try to console yourself with it, we'll catch a photograph of you smiling. We'll put it on the front page of the newspaper saying that you're actually fine and happy. Look how happy he is in our care. So in order, we're trying to set up a thing basically where, if you're being persecuted by us, you have to also persecute yourself. Otherwise, we'll use it to undermine when you call us out on what we're doing to you. This is monstrous stuff. I really wish Ben was here to respond to it with me, but obviously we finished recording. I figured this needed to be said, though. And now back to the stuff we recorded last night. So let's quickly do Australia versus Humanity. I haven't actually been grabbing a lot of this week because one of the giant things we're doing against humanity this week is the giant attack on LGBTI people. But and of course, we're still brutalizing people on Manus, and the government continues to... I saw Peter Dutton in Question Time today telling
it's
lies.
It's the same old, same old.
I know, it's... And they've been very effective at shutting down media coverage coming out of Manus.
Yep.
However, there was one thing that I saw today. The Victorian Liberal moderate, they call him a moderate in The Guardian, Russell Broadbent.
The moderate, the maverick.
I don't know how moderate you can be in the Libs. And also after the five people in the Libs saying, oh, yeah, we'll cross the floor on marriage equality if we don't, you know, if we don't get a free vote, we'll do it.
Because, yeah.
You know, just like the people who are opposed to it are going to do if a vote came up. So we're going to exercise our rights. And then they folded like a, you know, badly made tower of cards.
A badly made, you know, those tarot cards, they're so badly made they fold.
They do. To be fair, I got slightly distracted halfway through that metaphor, trying to think how high I've ever managed to make one. Anyway, it's not an important subject. He's come out and said, look, if the US, any genuine refugees the US doesn't take, we should let into Australia. Now, and he would vote along those lines. Now, that's not all that helpful given that both Labor and the Liberal parties together maintaining the position that if you have ever attempted to flee by boat, you will never come to Australia because right. they are fucking monsters. So Russell Broadbent, in and of himself, can't actually achieve anything.
Sure.
And I don't know that I don't rely on any Liberal backbenchers saying that they would consider crossing the floor to actually do that when push comes to shove. Even so, it was not like he was shamed into it by David Marr. And, you know, yes. the idea. Look, it's an important story because a you know, white person developed a mild bit of conscience. So, you know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, horrors are happening on our doorstep and continue.
Yes.
And there's no progress in any of these people being rescued. Dutton is still in Parliament shouting that their Operation Sovereign Borders is what all the Australian people want, and that... That Labor should be ashamed of having anything to do with Get Up, who are
yes.
terrible human beings who are opposed to Operation Sovereign Borders, and that you know, it's now 1,100 days or something since a boat arrived, and they've turned back 31 or 36, he said, boats, which does imply to me that they haven't stopped the boats because you can't turn back boats if they weren't coming.
I thought the idea of stopping the boats was that they didn't come at all.
Yes. So they're
maybe I just don't understand on water matters.
No, because what they've done is they've stopped them arriving safely. Because
yes,
the bit that
yes, exactly.
when we say we don't like people drowning at sea, the bit that we're really worried about is the safe bit when they arrive. Like the dragging them back out to sea is the bit, they're perfectly safe then. Yeah, that just makes sense. They're safe in the bit when we drag them in leaky boats back out to sea. And he's like, there haven't been any drownings. And I'm like, on what basis do we believe that, given that you refuse any information? You refuse to
yeah.
like, and also, you don't pay any attention to what happens to the boats after you drag them back to sea. Like, do you know that they get back safely? You don't know that at all.
No,
you are specifically
obviously.
Refusing to find out. There certainly are.
Don't care.
Yeah, don't tell me there are no fucking drownings. If you drag them back to sea and they drown in other waters, they've still drowned.
Yeah.
Ugh, monsters. Anyway, so Ben. I was about to say, what have we learned? And then I realized this is not that podcast.
No, this is what, no, we've learned nothing.
okay. In what way have
I've
we assessed
nothing.
Where Australia is going and what we can do about it? And what have we figured out that we can do
know.
About it? Well, we've certainly come up with some excellent ideas, if I do say so myself, which I do because they were my ideas. And I obviously thought they were decent, otherwise I wouldn't have said them.
I think on marriage equality, we can make a difference. And that's a start.
I feel like we've come up with some excellent ideas for people who aren't us, who have the organisational capacity and
yes.
resources
yes.
to do. And I feel like...
We're just the brainstormers.
Yeah, and we've said that stuff on a podcast, which means it will definitely get to the right ears, and that will definitely happen. So I feel we've done all we can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we can now take a well-earned holiday.
Oh, God, we're terrible human beings. Okay, so how do we get this? So I really do feel, though, that, like, one of the big things we need to be doing is I mean, we must know people around us who are arrogant, who've got an idea of, you know, the same sort of dickheads who are like, oh, we already have marriage equality. They're free to marry a person of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Fuckwits. We must know dickheads like that, or people who are like, oh, yeah, but what about, I've heard some bad stuff about safe schools. Yeah, but they were lies. Because, you know, the people, like, there was an expose, they had, was it the Guardian tweet? Somebody had, like, there was a story on, like, they looked into the people who are, like, when they've got these concerned mothers who are running the anti-safe school stuff, they're all fucking associated with the Liberal Party and Michael Sucker and the ACL.
Oh, it's AstroTurf. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all telling lies about it. Like,
so I guess in the end, what we need to do really is just encourage everyone you know to be aware of the actual facts.
Well, there's that. I also think that those people, we need to be doing more. Find the one that, I mean, you might have an idea of what's going to affect them. Like, are they, you know, somebody who, a woman who quite likes having basic freedoms as a woman? Well, remind them that the ACL wants to put them back in, put women back into really restrictive gender roles. Take away contraception. Like, ban no-fault divorce. There's all these. And if you're a bloke, all right, you know they want to censor the internet, right? They want to make you unable to find things on the internet that fundamentalists don't like.
Yes.
Have you thought that through?
Which is most of the internet.
Yes. They're not really in favour of your freedom of speech. They do like censoring stuff, as you well know. Absolutely. If you think about it. And if they get their way, they're not going to just... It's like the classic divide and conquer thing. They go after the LGBTI people, and then they go after the next lot. But they pick the vulnerable... And given that they've actually found it really hard going after gays and lesbians, because most people now know gays and lesbians.
Yes.
You'll notice how hard they've gone after trans people, because a lot of us don't know any trans people. Like, a lot of their stuff is about trans people.
Oh, yeah, and they like... they like to... Obviously, they like to imply that every issue is about every other issue as well.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, like they go after the most vulnerable group first, and then they go after the bigger. So, like, if the gay community is happy with them going after trans people, they come after gay people next. If they finish with gay people, they'll come after, you know, unmarried people, people with children who are unmarried. Like, they'll come after people who want to use contraception, women who want to have safe access to abortion, men who want to be the stay-at-home father, women who want to work. Like, they don't believe in any of this stuff. They want to wind the clock back. Hopefully all of us who, if you think about it in your social circle, the people who you think would probably be likely to be voting no, surely there is a pitch that you can make to them that reminds them, you know, if you vote no, you're giving those people a free shot to come after you next.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would help. I certainly think if you're actually associated with the formal organised campaigns that have resources and full-time people, yeah, letterbox of stuff attacking the ACL needs to happen, but not like from AME. I get that AME is branded as, you know, love and equality, and that's important, and I don't want them to taint that. But I do think that we need to be... Because the scare campaign about the ACL is actually quite valid. Certainly more valid than their campaign about fucking safe schools.
Well, yes.
Because, you know, unlike safe schools...
Easy bar to clear.
Safe Schools does not want to have a four-year-old having their penis cut off. Safe Schools does want to support LGBTI kids. That's the extent of what Safe Schools wants to do. All the rest of it is bullshit. On the other hand, the ACL really does want to wind the clock back. Like, that is absolutely clearly what they want.
Well, that's their raison d'être.
Exactly. And don't think they won't be after the people who use fancy French words.
Yeah.
Because they will. And it won't be formidable. That's probably a good place to wrap it up. Welcome to all of our new listeners. Thank you to everybody who's come back. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. You are the legends who are keeping us going, and we are perilously close to being able to upgrade equipment, and so that next time we're recording in the same room as somebody, we may have two microphones instead of people being very close around one. Also, that thing that I said last week and also on Twitter today that didn't have any kind of response, if you were listening to the podcast tonight... And there were things that you wanted to say back at us, because, like, when I'm listening to political podcasts, I'm often saying things back at them. Please whip out your iPhone or Android.
Oh, thank God you said iPhone. Sorry.
Look, not everything is about about genitals, Ben. Without your iPhone.
True.
Or your other type of phone, but you know, some people have phones that are actually not shit. So
get on with it, Jeremy. Tell them what to do.
I wonder if I could run out the music. Anyway, my point is, look, record 10, 20 seconds of like your say. Yeah, okay, if you've ever listened to a podcast that you know, is sponsored by Blue Apron or Audible, not this one. Apparently, they haven't come after us. So, do they sponsor your? Have you got Blue Apron or Audible, Ben, on your
podcast?
We're
not sponsored.
Anyway,
we're terribly lo-fi.
Are we even a podcast if we're not mentioning Blue Apron? If a podcast goes out onto iTunes and it doesn't mention Blue Apron, does it actually make a noise? I don't know. Right. Anyway, my point is, like Dan Savage's one, you know how they have like audio, the people doing feedback at the end? I think that would be quite a good thing to do with this one. And just record what you know, if you had a, hey, Jeremy, that thing you said there, this is what I say about that, whatever. That would be great.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to do that, we can have a couple of those at the end of the episode, and it would feel like a bit of a conversation. It would be good. So I encourage you to do that. If you're only recording 10 to 20 seconds, the file won't be so big that you can't just email it to us. The email address is wellmaywesaypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, who has left a 5-star review on iTunes so that other people can find us. If you haven't left a review on iTunes, that is also incredibly helpful and makes a big difference to people actually finding us in the rankings. Thank you to my co-host for tonight, Ben Pobgy.
Thank you.
You can find Ben in many places. One of them is his podcast, Gather Around Me, but another one of them, as I understand it, Ben, is in a bookshop of some kind.
Yes, my new book has just recently come out to all good bookstores and many bad ones.
I was going to say, what about the evil bookshops?
No, there's some pretty... Oh, it's in Shockers. It's called Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. It is Questionable Histories of Great Australians. So some fascinating biographical details and some completely irresponsible jokes. So, good combination there.
You need to get that book out there and people reading it before they change the date of Australia Day and all of those achievements become erased.
Yes, that's the thing. Once the date is changed, it's all being pulped.
It's only the ones that are unsold that are being popped. You're not going to go into people's homes who have bought the book and pop. No, don't. You want to sell them to people. If you buy Ben's book before that happens, you will get one of the unpopped copies. He won't come into your house.
I promise. Yeah,
he's only going to pop the unsold ones. Thank you to Denise Pierco for doing Stuck in My Craw. Thank you to our beloved editor Daniel Karma, Robin Gray for the music, Alex Lump for the artwork. We look forward to seeing you all next week. See you then.
Bye.